Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
Crunch time! Crunch time! You're listening to Crunch Time on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Crunch time! Crunch time!
That's right, Kansas City. Welcome to Crunch Time. It is Tim Grunow and Frank Bowe. We appreciate you guys listening on a steamy Thursday afternoon right here in Kansas City. And we want to thank, of course, got to start out always thanking our sponsors, CBD American Shaman, and all the great people over at CBD American Shaman. Right now, 30% off all products at all stores in the metro area. Pop on in and you get some water solubles, get some anti-inflammatory cream, and they got some gummies. They got all kinds of good stuff over there to kind of make you feel good and take away some of the anxiety and some of the pain. We talked about it last week, Frank. The NFL is seriously looking into some of these hemp products to help out their athletes because they're trying to get people off of the opioids and all the pharmaceuticals that have been passed around for many, 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 many years in the NFL. Just because, listen, that's a tough business and there's a lot of aches and pains. There was really no other options. Well, now there's options, and CBD American Shaman is one of the best places to explore those options, Frank. And we also have the Leewood Clinic, which is outstanding, Frank, that you have been in a couple different times.
Oh, sure.
And done some stuff there.
Yeah. Shaman's Leewood Total Wellness, 117th in Row in Camelot Court in Leewood. Give them a call, 913-227-9510. They'll set you up. Let you know exactly what they have to offer. They have family and single memberships. You can talk to them about that. Monthly packages, a medical concierge. They have hormone replacement therapy for both men and women, IV therapy, from everything from hangovers to PTSD. They have full aesthetics and a fully stocked CBD American Shaman store. So it's a great place. 913-227-9510. That's 913-227-9510. 9510 Shaman's Leewood Total Wellness, 117th and Row in Camelot Court.
Before we get into all the logistics of mini camp, and I know there's some stuff out with COVID, and we got a ton of sound guys. We got a great show lined up for you, so sit back and relax. If you're driving home, just kind of take it easy, and we will get you there. But before we start it all, how about this? Patrick Mahomes will be on the cover of Madden for the second time.
Along with
Tom Brady this time. So the first time in 1920 he was on solo, in 2020, 1920, wow. That was when Madden maybe was born.
Gee, I was young.
You were young then.
I was so
young. And 2020 he was on solo, and then now here this year in 2022, he will be on with Tom Brady. And, it says, this is, and it's funny because, my kids are about Patrick's age, and Madden is everything to these kids, especially his age. And this is a big deal for a kid that's between the age of, really big deal for anybody, but for between 21 and 27 to be on the cover of Madden. I mean, that's
Well, and it's not
huge.
His first time. It's the second time he's been on, which is really rare. I don't know. Beard, you might know this better than I do. Brady, I'm sure, has been on at least once, right?
Yeah, probably. Do you want me to get you the list of who's been on it recently?
Yeah, I think he and Brady are the only two that have been on twice. Is that right?
And there used to be a deal, and I'm not sure if it was with Madden or it was MLB or whether it was, where there was a little bit of a jinx if you got on.
Yes, it was Madden.
I think that was broken because I think, was Aaron Rodgers on last year?
When he won the MVP?
Yeah, so I think he may have broken the jinx.
I think you might be right, yeah.
So we're not going to worry about that. We're not worried about that. Let's not bring that into. But the Kansas City Chiefs have finished their mini camp. And they got through. All indications are it was a very successful mini camp. And last year at this time, they were meeting virtually. So they're that much ahead of where they were last year. All the meetings, all the practice, all the kind of camaraderie, all the things that you get done during mini camp got done. Andy was happy with it. We'll hear a little sound from him. So the Chiefs will not be together, and I mentioned this last week, I think, that right after minicamp, they're gone. They separate. They don't have to be here. Some guys will stay here and work out. I used to live here, so I would just go over and work out there.
You're allowed in the facility if you're here.
You're allowed in the facility.
Coaches can't be there, though, with you.
Coaches cannot be there. The strength and conditioning coaches can.
Okay.
But the position coaches cannot. July 27th, they'll all get together up in St. Joe. And 3 days later, they'll get up on the field. Maybe even 4 days later, they'll get to the field. And the reason why that is because of COVID. Frank, you got some really interesting information. The NFL has just put out about some of the restrictions and some of the things they're going to demand from players, whether you like it or not, they want the players to live up to as far as this COVID and COVID protocols.
Yeah, really. Here's the way it is. And this came out yesterday from the NFL. They are going to ease the rules for vaccinated players. That's fully vaccinated players, not just players that have one shot. They need them both and then have that little period of time after they get their second shot. But if you have both, when you go to camp, there will be no daily testing, no quarantine following exposure, no physical distancing, and they will lift all travel restrictions for those players who are fully vaccinated.
That sounds like normal.
Right. Now, right? For those who haven't received both
this does
doses,
not sound like normal.
No. They will have, this is for the players who haven't had both doses, daily testing, face coverings, quarantine, distancing, and unvaccinated players will have no outside contact, no meetings or group training activities. Think about this for a minute. If you go to camp and you haven't been vaccinated, you can't go into a group meeting. And you can't go to a group training activity. That means you can't go to practice.
So basically, if you're not vaccinated, you can't participate.
No, absolutely. They're trying to get every player in the NFL, or at least get that. They say half the current players have at least one dose. But the NFL says we will ease all restrictions when 85% of your players on your particular team are vaccinated.
Do you think that teams will get to 85%?
Oh, I don't. They better get going. I mean, why they should be at 85? They should be 85%
well,
now.
Whether
this
they should be or shouldn't
living.
Be,
this is the way you make your living.
I agree. I mean, I did it, and you did it. I've had no issues. I'm glad I did it. I think I'm part of the solution, not part of the problem right now. But I can understand that people don't want to get vaccinated. I'm not saying that you have to get vaccinated. You do what you think is right. I think it's right that you get vaccinated. The NFL is basically telling these guys either you get vaccinated or you're not
or
a part of the team.
Standing on the side. It looks like they're going to be standing on the sidelines.
So do you think that players, and listen, I was one of them. You're not telling me what to do.
Absolutely, that's what they're doing.
So I know we have some sound, and I haven't heard it.
Right.
So I'm as interested as you guys out there driving around to hear what Tyrann Mathieu and Andy Reid had to say about these COVID things. I have not heard it because I just got back, Frank, from playing golf in Nebraska.
Too bad for you. Yeah, you're breaking my heart. We'll start with Andy Reid. Todd Lebo asked Reid what he thought of the NFL's new COVID protocols and how he communicates with the team on the issue of vaccinations.
Yeah, so Todd, we've kept the guys as educated as we can with the different protocols. Also gave them the opportunity to look into whether they wanted to be vaccinated or not, the pluses to that, what the doctors are saying, the latest science is saying. And so if they had questions, I asked was that they get them answered. And with that, we've had a number of guys sign up. We're heading in the right direction there. We're one of the top teams with vaccinations, and we'll keep rolling with it. But I think the education part of it ends up being important for a lot of guys, just to know where this thing's at and where it's going. So, and I like the policies that they've put in. I mean, there's some things that just have to be done to make it work, and I think the league's done that.
So that's Andy Reid, and he said when they opened the mandatory minicamp, he felt really good where they were as far as percentage. He didn't say how many of the Chiefs are vaccinated or not vaccinated or whatever, but he said he felt pretty good. And he said he really felt good because it was coming from the leadership of the other players. I know Patrick Mahomes has been vaccinated.
Yeah.
So as soon as that kid gets vaccinated, and he's going to all his teammates, hey, look, I've already come out and said I want to go 20-0 now. Whether that's realistic goal or not, it's a great thing to shoot for. To go undefeated and win 20 games and win another Super Bowl, that's great. But I think he's trying to let these players know this is all business. This is our business. This is how we make our living. And there's no sense being standing on the sidelines because you decide not to get a shot.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's a privilege, not a right, to play in the NFL. You do not have the right to play. You are given a job. You earn that job, but you are given a job, and you're given a spot on a team. You do not have the option. You do not have the right to just say that I'll do whatever I want to do. You are part of an organization. You're part of a business. And if that business says you have to do this, this, and that, then you have to do this, this, and that. Or guess what? You're not a part of the business. This isn't just the NFL. This is going to be all kinds of different corporations all around the country. It's going to be all kinds of different organizations. My kids have all been informed that they will be back in the office by September, whether it's, you know, in the business world or whether it's in the market, you know,
baseball, football.
You're going to be in the office in September, and we want you to be vaccinated. And if they don't get vaccinated, they're going to have to pay the consequences. Yeah. Now, listen, there's a lot of people out there that are worried about different side effects and different things. Hey, you know, that's part of the decision you have to make.
Because this is medical. The NFL does not have a rule or a penalty for being vaccinated or not vaccinated because it is a medical situation. That's what makes it different. There are rules for, you know, you can't pull a face mask, can't punch a guy, you know, whatever it is. You got to stay on sides. All the rules and regulations that you got to follow. No drugs. Mm-hmm. Okay, you can't use drugs, whatever. You're going to be under drug testing. So they can make rules and regs about that. The problem is when it comes to medicine, it's a different story.
Yeah, so I'm wondering if, is it a different, so when you say it's a different story, the NFL has made a mandate of things that the players are responsible for getting done, or they're going to have to pay the consequences, and they're going to have to wear a mask. They're going to have to be separate. They're going to have to go to Zoom meetings. So they're giving them an option. It's a terrible option. But they are giving them an option. Right. So, you know, it's crazy. Right.
And Todd Lebo asked Tyrann Mathieu about the new COVID-19 protocols and if the league is heading in the right direction.
Well, I think the league and the PA is going to do, you know, what was really best for the league, right? What's best for the fans. I think us, we as a team, we understand that it could be an advantage for us, you know, going forward. You know, especially with the protocols and camp, you know, we just talked about, you know, how much time we've spent practicing and communicating. And, you know, we would hate to get to camp and not have, you know, a good portion of our guys to be able to really sit and eat dinner with and, you know, just build that camaraderie. I think that's another, I think that, again, that is a big part of playing football, you know, just building that team chemistry, building that team bond. And, you know, every year you have a different team. It's new guys, it's new faces. And so every year you're trying to start over, building that chemistry back up. So I think we understand the importance of it. I think we believe in our training staff, our medical people. And then, like I said, most importantly, we believe in our coaches as well. So I think we truly believe those guys won't, you know, give us any bad information. I think everything they tell us is, like I said, not just for the player, but for the person.
Tyrann Mathieu talking about, so he, I could tell he's been vaccinated.
Yeah.
So he's another one of the team leaders. Not sure about Travis Kelce, if he has or has not, but those are the guys that sort of pull the train. They're the locomotives that get this thing going in the right direction.
And he's basically saying, listen, we're in training camp, and, you know, we go to lunch or go to dinner, and you have to sit in a completely separate room. You know, that's not being
that,
a team.
I wouldn't even care about that.
Yeah.
It's being on the practice field.
Being on the practice field, and being in the meeting rooms. If you're in a meeting room with the rest of your guys and one of the guys is not vaccinated, you're sitting in another room watching it on Zoom.
Right.
I mean, you're not really a part of the team.
Yeah,
and
it's just crazy.
So, you know, listen, the NFL has to figure out a way that they want to nip this in the bud. They don't want to have the disruptions. Now, we have gotten and gone a long way when it comes to COVID, but, you know, these are things that, you know, that the NFL feels is important. It's their business. It's their league, and they make the rules. As simple as that. And either you follow the rules, Frank, and this is very simple. Either you follow the rules or you don't. And if you don't follow the rules, then you're not a part of the team, you're not part of the league, and it's just the way it is.
If you can't practice, you can't play.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can't practice, this is what I don't understand. If you end up on that opening day, they open with Cleveland, right? Got the date here in front. September 12th, they open with Cleveland. Right. It's 87 days from now, right? So all of a sudden, you haven't been vaccinated in camp. How? You're not going to be allowed on the field to play against the Browns. Okay, you're going to have to get vaccinated. So I don't know what anybody's waiting for. If you want to play in the NFL this year, it appears to me.
Can you opt out this year again? Have they made that rule yet?
I don't know if you can opt out again or not. Yeah. Not for COVID-19, you can't. You may opt out because I don't want to take the vaccine, so I'm just going to opt out.
You ain't
getting paid.
I wonder if, they got paid to opt out last year.
You ain't going to get paid this year. Not for that.
Wow.
There's no way.
There's going to be some interesting stuff that happened the rest of this summer. That's something to watch and see what the end of, because there's going to be a group of guys,
holdouts, absolutely,
and that are going to be, their opinion. They're going to, they're going to let their voices be known, and it's going to be interesting to see what they do in the NFL.
Yeah.
So,
to me, it doesn't look like you can play unless you get. It's like trying to get on an airplane. You can't get on an airplane without being vaccinated. The airline doesn't care whether you're vaccinated or not. The airline cares whether you're trying to get on board our plane or not.
Right.
If you're trying to get on board our plane, you're going to be vaccinated and you're going to wear a mask. All right? That's what it's going to come down to.
Yep.
So that's the way it's going to be. But the other thing is, Tyrann Mathieu, since we're on the subject of him, there's been a lot of controversy about whether or not the Chiefs are going to sign him long term, whether or not he wants to sign here long term. And I think he does. And Todd Lebo asked him today, said he was asked how much he desires. Number six. Tyrann Mathieu was asked how much he desires to finish his career in Kansas City.
I mean, it's probably top of the list. It's been everything I've asked for. And for me, I feel like I can play football anywhere. But when you develop certain relationships with certain people, these people become a part of your life. And so, Coach Spags, Coach Merrick, Coach Reed, Coach Rubin, our strength coach, all these men, have been pouring into me. So, I can't see me, ever kind of walking away from that relationship. I've been through a lot in my life, and so for me, I think, holding on to certain relationships, I think that kind of outweighs, any monetary thing, any short feeling or emotion I may be, dealing with in the moment.
There's Tyrann Mathieu. So it sounds like he really wants to be here. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
There's no doubt.
Playing for a great team. He can see the team around him. It's a great chance to get another Super Bowl ring.
Yep.
So for him, it's almost like a no-brainer. I think he wants to stay here.
And he's got another, year on his contract anyways before that?
Yeah, but he wants to get this thing done.
What he wants and what he's going to get, we'll see.
You
but
don't want
but
him
at least,
sitting out.
But at least, they have time. So I think he's handling it the correct way. And he's going about his business. He's being a good leader. He's not pouting. He's doing his job, and I think the Chiefs will appreciate that. I think the Chiefs will find a way to work with him. If you are one of those guys that you're out there on social media or you're out there in the media itself, and you are complaining that that this guy's getting this and this guy's getting paid that, and and you're complaining, that does not help your cause.
No, it doesn't.
It just doesn't help your cause.
Okay, the other big news, obviously, this offseason was Patrick Mahomes' toe. Beards, this is number 14. He was asked, Adam Teicher asked Patrick Mahomes how he came through the offseason with his toe and if he sees any problems moving forward.
No, I don't. I don't see any problems moving forward. Obviously, I want to continue with the rehab, continue to work on those things to strengthen it and do all that different type of stuff. But I feel like I had a good OTAs, a good mini camp. I was able to move around, scramble around, and do the things that I needed to do.
There's Patrick Mahomes, and I think that was a lot worse, I think, than we thought. Remember,
yes,
it was 3 months?
Absolutely.
After the Super Bowl, after he got done hobbling around and getting his butt kicked in the Super Bowl by Tampa Bay's defense, he was down once he had that he had operated on it, and he was down for 3 months.
Yeah,
and that was a huge concern at that point, because if you can't, he called it turf toe. I've never heard of anybody have an operation on turf toe.
He
and
tore
have
it.
Taken
he was tur- it was turf toe, and then it was torn. He tore that in the Super Bowl and early in that Super Bowl, and I think we even talked about it. I talked to somebody who was close to the situation, said, "Yeah, it was pretty bad during that game." And he played through it and really played pretty well, running around like he did because he had to, and made some plays with that kind of injury. the big toe, anybody who's ever had a big toe issue at all, you know, I mean, it just, it's so painful, and that's, you realize how much you use the big toe.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he fought through that, and you know, I'm hoping that, you know, he'll have, he has a month now to kind of even get that better and keep on with the treatment and the, and keep on doing the physical therapy stuff for it and get yourself as close to 100% as you can by the time we start up on the 31st.
Right. First practice is the 31st. Andy Reid was asked how confident he is that Patrick Mahomes will be able to do everything when they get to camp in late July.
Yeah. Listen, I mean, we were cautious with him, and he'll do anything. And so, you know, it's just a matter that we were smart, trying to be as smart as we possibly could with it. And his communication was great. He kept it open with us, and we checked with him to make sure and see how he was doing during practices. And not just the first day, but you want to check on third day too. So to see how he's doing. And he made it through. I think this was good for him. And then we'll just see how he feels once we get up to camp. But he sure got a lot of work done here, and he came out feeling pretty good.
All right, guys, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we are going to talk to Dr. Jeff Miner, who is founder of Triumph. I believe it's Performance Institute. And Dr. Miner has worked. He was a college athlete himself and has worked with the Olympic Committee and has been a director of the National Institute of Child-Centered Coaching and has done, wrote some books and is just really, really good. His forte, his strengths are motivation, getting people into the zone, overcoming obstacles, ethical practice by coaches. He's dealt with everything from eating disorder with athletes to just trying to make it fun for kids to go out and perform. And we're going to talk to Jeff a little bit about, you know, how the kids came out of this whole situation with COVID and sports and also talk a little bit about, you know, kind of getting kids back together. They've been separated so long. All of a sudden now they're back together in teams and the dynamic has changed. Because, I mean, listen, my little, I was, you know, with big brothers and big sisters, you know, they were basically out of school and away from everybody for 6, 7, 8 months.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And
it was terrible on kids. I couldn't imagine going through this if I was a kid.
So we'll bring Jeff on to talk about it, and we'll have some bunch more questions about it, too. And I know he deals with a lot of professional athletes here in town also. He's a great guy, and we'll have him on here in a minute right here on
Crunch Time.
All right, welcome back to Crunch Time. It is Tim Grona and Frank Bowe. We appreciate you guys listening in today. We want to thank our great sponsor from CBD American Shaman. 30% off at all the stores all over the metro. If you have anxiety, you have pain.
I have anxiety every time I'm in here and work with you.
We start working together. Is that why you're always popping those gummies over there?
It's been a long road. Those hemp gummies.
Well, now we have Dr. Jeff Miner in here. Maybe he could take away some of your anxiety.
Okay.
He's done that for me many, many times over the last year. Yes, we've been working together and doing some things. And he's a great, great friend of mine. Dr. Jeff, how are you, buddy?
I am doing wonderful, Tim. Thanks for having me on the show.
It is great to have you. Listen, let's talk a little bit about you were a wrestler and you were a collegiate wrestler. And then after wrestling, you went and worked with the United States Olympic Committee. And you've written some books on coaching, you've written books on sports, you've written books on getting into the zone and motivating pit players, and you've just really have dug deep into the psychological aspects of sport. Talk to us a little bit about what you're up to and what's going on in your life.
Well, a lot.
I know, you're always busy.
Way too much, but what's really, something you mentioned there that I wanted to kind of touch on is a sports psychologist versus a licensed professional counselor with a sports emphasis.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what is the difference between that? And a lot of people ask me that and they don't know. They're like, well, what's the difference between you and what a sports psychologist do? And so what it is a sports psychologist basically goes to school and learns motivation and how to get into the zone and team building and all those types of skills. And they don't get a lot of therapy training, and so they don't deal with like mental illness, or they don't deal with like bipolar or eating disorders or alcoholism or drugs and addictions or anything like that. So the difference is what I do is I started as a therapist, but then I kind of went into the sports realm and realized what are the things that hold athletes back that I can deal with that maybe a sports psychologist can't. And so that's kind of what separates me from other sports psychologists and even other counselors is they don't know the athlete world, and I know the athlete world like the typical counselor, but the sports psychologists don't necessarily know the counseling world. So I bring the two together.
So have you noticed, and I know with professional athletes, this is something in college athletes and really any athlete, when you get to that point where you just can't do it anymore, it almost feels like a death.
Right.
Where you can't play. I was just out with some gentlemen playing golf, and the guy just turned 75, 76, and he's like, I just can't play golf anymore. And he says, I miss it so much. Right. And then you talk about professional athletes, you're 32, 33 years old, that you got a lot of life left, and you're done with the thing that you love the most. It was your goal. It was your being for a while. So how do you work with athletes, let's say, when they're done, and they're a lot of times they're looking for other things to compensate for the things they're missing.
Exactly. In lots of different ways.
Right.
But, you know, you're so right is the identity piece. You know, the identity piece is that's who you are. That's how you walk. You are the athlete, Tim Grunhard, the athlete, football player, nothing else. That's who you live for. And then all of a sudden that's gone. So it's like, what do you do? It's like you have to re-identify who you are. You have to look into who am I really? What do I like? Because I've been spending my whole life trying to impress others and trying to show people how good I am and all that. What really makes me tick? What do I like? And that's not an easy process at 35, 36, 40, 50. Mm-hmm. You know, and a lot of times we lose that limelight. And, you know, that happens even to, like you said, high school players. It's like that's who you are. That's your identity. And you wanted to go off to college and play or something, but you're not good enough. You know, you didn't make the team.
Right. And I think the other thing about that is, too, I think not only do they lose their career, and their careers, you know, it's not like a guy who graduates from college and has a business degree and works in business for 50 years. I mean, that's his career. That's fine. These careers last anywhere from 2 to 11 or 12 years, and only the luckiest of the guys that get away with not a whole lot of injury, whatever, can last that 15, 17 to 20-year career. Not only do they lose that at a very young age, but they also find out they lose a lot of friends at that age. And then all of a sudden you start looking back at, you know what? I was this athlete, and I had all these buddies. Now, where's
everybody at?
Where's everybody at? How big a transition is that? How tough is that?
That's one of the biggest. It's like all these people that you thought you were friends, you know, and you were living the limelight and they were living it with you for a while. But when you're done with that limelight, a lot of your friends are done with you too. And, you know, and this is what it comes down to is everything comes back around to in that situation, finding you, your identity. Who am I? Who am I really? What do I really like? You know, a lot of times, you know, professional athletes have been so good at trying to please the world.
Right.
And to show this image or who they think everybody wants them to be, and they haven't been real. So then when it's the lights are off, they get real.
Yeah.
You know, the closest thing that, you know, and I went through that whole process, and I've seen a lot of guys go through it. Some guys get through it okay. Mm-hmm. Some guys don't. You know, everybody's got to go through it. It's just part of it. But the closest thing I've seen to that feeling is that when I look at these kids that went through the COVID issue, where all of a sudden there was no socializing with their friends. There was no going to school. There was no going and playing baseball in the summer or playing basketball. They lost their sport. They lost their friends. They lost their kind of identity.
Exactly.
So, you know, but, you know, when you're 35, 36, 37-year-old, that's really hard to deal with. Okay. How are 10, 11, and 12, and 13-year-olds dealing with it?
You know, those ages, but we're talking a lot high school and the kids that I'm seeing right and left now. You know what? A lot of these kids, and this is sad, but COVID, there wasn't a lot to do. And so what do you think most of them did?
Nothing.
There is something that
they found other ways to fulfill.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Video games.
And what was it? It was video games.
Yeah.
And so what's happened is they've isolated and become not seeing people and just playing video games and having those interactions, getting back into society. And if you have a social anxiety or any anxiety at all, this is huge because they're used to playing these hours and hours. We're talking, you know, the average time that I was talking that kids were spending, and these are athletes that have been training somewhat on their own. It was like 6 to 8 hours a day.
Wow.
Yeah.
On the video game.
So what's the first step? I know you probably take you months to go through all the different things that to get kids to kind of get back into the swing of things. But what are one of the first couple steps you try to get the kids to realize and do in order to kind of get themselves kind of back into the back swing of things?
Yeah, back into the game. Well, I will tell you, I wish that it was the kids would listen to what we say with this, but it's probably going to come down to mom and dad encouraging some behaviors. Because if you've got some anxieties or some stresses or some worries or about going out and you have the option to stay home, you're probably going to stay home. So mom and dad's going to need to get them out and encourage the participation again, getting back into the activities. And it's not easy. You know, there's a lot of kids that are this is a big issue. I mean, this is since we were off.
It's a big show here, Dr. Minor. We don't talk, and that's why
right.
You're on. I mean, come
so
on.
We need to reach more people. That's exactly right. Especially parents. We're talking to Dr. Jeff Minor, professional counselor, has all kinds of great ideas and, you know, certainly go. Doc, you talk about a coach's planner and motivation and stuff. How much has that changed since COVID-19? Have you gone back and looked at your stuff and all of a sudden that coach's planner sort of changes, the motivation factors sort of change, the obstacles obviously have changed with, you know, trying to get the kid out of the basement?
It's been a really cool opportunity for me. I work with athletes that are pretty serious. So through COVID, a lot of athletes on the outside were folding and not doing anything. My kids all had the idea that it's off season time. This is where champions are made.
Right. Okay.
You are given.
So you're dealing
extra,
with more of an elite athlete type thing. Okay. Go
ahead.
Well,
I deal with anybody that's on a mission. Like if you are an athlete and you're struggling with anxiety and you love to play the sport and anxiety is keeping you from having fun, then let's get rid of the anxiety. Let's teach you the techniques to. We do biofeedback and neurofeedback and all kinds of different techniques to help kids deal with anxiety, to learn how to focus better, get them off medication so they don't need to all be on ADHD medication.
Right.
It's like helping these kids do the natural skills, the natural behaviors that are going to help them to be able to overcome some of the challenges that came with COVID.
Sure.
So, but my kids, it was really unique. What I saw was a lot of these kids just took it upon themselves that, wow, I'm going to write this daily journal. I'm going to get up and this is going to be my schedule. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to go and do this. And they put in more time and more effort.
Right.
And so a lot of them are getting second chances at the scholarships and they got an extended year or so this has been, could have been, and it's unfortunate, wasn't an opportunity for a lot of them.
Yeah, right.
It's funny you bring up the scholarship thing. Now, listen, not everybody's out there playing sports to get a scholarship, mm-hmm. but there's a good group that is.
Parents are having them play sports.
Absolutely. Okay. But
that's part of the problem, by the way.
The anxiety has got to be through the roof because just the way the NCAA has set it up where now you have – you know, six-year seniors, COVID seniors, there's not as many scholarships. So I'm sure that they're thinking, okay, well, the last class that came in had this many, and maybe they're only going to take half of that because they kept half on the back end. And these kids are probably just so worked up because they're not sure what the numbers are going to be and how it's all going to play out. So they really, it's almost out of their control.
It is. It's totally out. I've had, like in basketball, I had one kid say, screw it, I'm going to go to Europe and play professional basketball and not where he had 2 years left in college.
College, here. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, but they were like a COVID year and then he would have to be a fifth year senior. And so it's like, I'm not waiting.
Yeah.
So he said, I'm going over. He made a low ranking team and now he played this last season and he is now in the money.
Well, we'd like to hear that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plus those kids, like a lot of kids are going from high school and even the coaches before the COVID thing. Oh, hey, you're recruiting a kid. Okay. And you know that you have two seniors or three seniors. They're graduating from a certain position group.
You're right.
So
right.
Here's this high school kid they're going to bring in. All of a sudden he signed, sealed, delivered and ready to go. Now they're all getting the next year. None of them are leaving. So now you're sitting there. You're sitting there as a player going in, going, I thought I was almost going to play right away, and now I'm not. So now what am I going to do?
Well, and think you were just talking about the coaches and the confusion that that causes the coaches, and how do I work the scholarships to get the best out of, you know, the most use out of my scholarship?
Exactly. Yeah.
Because it's like
because they're what they do. That's their job.
Right.
And they can lose their job if they don't get it right.
Exactly.
All right, well, I got a couple minutes left with you, Jeff, but I have to ask you this. What is the psychological effect of your leader saying that you're going to go 20-0?
and they lose the opening game of the season.
Now, so, I mean, I know that, you know, Patrick Mahomes, listen, everybody always wants to win all the games.
Yeah.
But does that put pressure on the rest of the team? Does it put pressure on Patrick Mahomes? Is it one of those things where you're just saying it and listen, that's what you want to do? But kind of through your experience, what does that do to a team? I mean, people out there will always ask me, I don't know what does. I mean, you're the professional. What does it do to a team?
You know, at the elite level, I think it might serve as some motivation. But in most of sports, it would serve as more pressure, a deterrence. It wouldn't be beneficial. But if you're talking about the Chiefs and the team that they got now, I think it's probably a good idea to throw out that gauntlet a little bit and see what we're made of, you know?
I also think he threw it out there, too, because we were just talking about the vaccine protocols coming in, and that any of you guys that aren't being vaccinated, you're probably not going to be on the field during practice when we're doing preseason. Right. If you don't get vaccinated, you're probably not going to play because you're going to be limited to what you can do. So I think he threw it out there to say, I'm serious.
Yeah.
I'm vaccinated. I want you in here.
Right.
And let's go 20-0. Okay, I'm just going to throw it down. So I think that has something to do with it, doesn't it?
I think it's he's a very psychological quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, I think he really thinks through the way he wants the team to respond to things. And so the way being that young and to be able to get that level of following and he's doing something right. So throwing down the gauntlet may be the right call.
Yeah. The other thing you're saying, and Tim, I know you've had this, and I didn't mean to jump in or any there, but
no.
You know, you have coached a Division I college football player and two swimmers, your two daughters, who basically were looking to go to the Olympics or whatever. I know Doc talks about parenting elite athletes. How tough is it to do what, you know, Timmy had to go through with those kids?
That is so – thank you for teeing me up, man.
You bet, baby. I'm ready to hear what Timmy did wrong. Let's go. Come on. Throw it at
me. Well, actually –
probably nothing.
We're working on a parenting series.
Yeah.
And we're working on – that's a big discussion at Triumph is – what is the role of the parent and how can they best be used by the athlete and by the coaches? And so it's a fine line. It is with elite athletes. It's like there's no one right or wrong because you look at, you know, Tiger Woods and everybody wants to be like Tiger Woods' dad and his relationship. And then everybody wants to be. Yeah, not everybody.
No, we don't.
Right? But then they think that works. And then, so you go look at all these different ones. And some of those really do work, but it's an individual basis. And you got to know your kid and you got to know, am I delivering pressure? Am I sending unknown messages? Am I living vicariously through them? And that takes a little work digging into that.
And for every Tiger Woods, there's 100,000
and every as you know too, Frank, because you've had great athlete kids too. Don't sell yourself short. Every kid's different. You know, one kid you can make a comment to, then they'll get motivated by it, and the other kid will shut you down in a second.
Right.
And I'll give you a prime example. Kaylee, her I think it was her sophomore year in a state meet. Was doing the IM, and it was a questionable DQ on a the transition from, I think it was, backstroke to breaststroke, and the flip turn that not a lot of people do unless you're an elite swimmer, and the judges didn't particularly understand what that process was. So they DQ'd her, and she won the race by a whole half a length of a whole length of the pool, and they DQ'd her, and she was just distraught. And of course, my wife's like, "You got to go down and talk to her."
Tim,
and you know, and when you walk, and, you know, and she was distraught. So I and I was like, "Okay, what am I gonna say?" And I knew that her goal and her the thing that she really wanted was to break the record in the butterfly for the state record, and that was coming up like literally in like 20 minutes. And I said, "Remember, our goal is still there, right? I mean, we still have an opportunity to do what we kind of set ourselves to, you know, your goal to do." And the last thing, you can't go in there and say, "Quit feeling sorry for yourself."
Right. Or, "Come on, kid."
Or, you know, get up. And quit crying. There's no crying in swimming.
Right.
You know, all the things that you, I would now, if Colin jumped off sides and he came back to the sideline, I'd be saying, "Wait," and he started crying. "There's no crying in football, you big wood, blah, blah, blah." So you got to deal with kids separately.
Right.
And, you know, and it worked. And, you know, and, but man, I'll tell you what, and any parent out there, I pray for you, because it is so hard to say the right thing and do the right thing and be there. Because we don't know all the answers. We want our kids to have all the success in the world, but they're not gonna. And I love what you always say. You got to let them fail.
You got to let them fail, but there's a, even a bigger one that you know and you are getting great at. Listening.
Yeah.
You know what? It's that's what it comes down to as a parent. Instead of telling them what to do all the time, it's listening. "Hey, what's going on with you? What's that like for you? Tell me more about that."
You're active listening. I'm terrible at it. So,
you've been practicing.
You know what? I actually have a list and I keep in the car. I'm like, "So, Sarah, how do you really feel about this situation?" And I put it down. "So, how does that make you feel?"
Honey, let's talk about feelings.
Shut up.
I've got two here.
And it reminded me of, you know, active listening to me. And I'm not ripping because I love this guy. He's awesome. It reminds me of Lamaze class. It all is great until you get in there, and then you put, "Okay, I'm going to put my hand on your arm, and I want you to breathe three times really slowly." Jeez. And as soon as you touch him, "Get your hand off of me.
This is your fault. Yes, you have to go through this."
"Okay, take a deep breath. Don't you tell me what to do."
That's exactly right.
Oh, my gosh. All right, well, if you have some, just a couple quick things you'd like to tell a parent out there with a kid that's playing some baseball this summer, or maybe swimming or doing
that. I have a niece in town.
Yeah.
Excellent softball player.
Yep.
And Taylor Barlow, and she is playing out here at the Mid-America deal, and she is there. She's being highly recruited. She's in this really elite tournament. So you tell these parents, and you tell my niece, okay, my niece, who is Katie Barlow, how she's going to handle her kid. There you go.
Yeah.
Well.
Come on. Let's go, Doc. Putting you on a seat. I'm only kidding. Go ahead.
The key
Timmy
is,
asked the right question.
The key is to have fun.
Yep.
Because we, you know, I was a great wrestler, but I didn't have a lot of fun because
We're skipping the commercial, by the way, so keep going.
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah, you're really good. So
I was anxious, and I didn't have a lot of fun. And it's like, why do we play the sport? It's like, let's just have fun. When I work with athletes, their goals with me are to have fun and to try their hardest. That's it.
I promise you right now, there's somebody driving with their kid in a car, and they just lost.
Yeah.
And the kid's in the back, and he's very upset. And the parent's probably a little upset, too. I mean, I remember, I was like, gosh, I can't believe they lost that game. You know?
Yeah.
How do you deal with that? I mean, so you know, the mom and dad are listening right now, and they're saying, okay, Dr. Jeff's going to tell me how to deal with this kid in the back. And it's not just going to get ice cream. What is it real quick?
Here it is. This is the best answer. There's three questions that you ask them. What did you learn? How are you going to use that moving forward? And what were three positives that came out of the game?
That's good. It's like Lamar's class, though.
Sounds like Lamar's class to me.
But you know what? Yeah. The worst part of a kid's
It's great
sport,
in theory.
The worst part of kids' sports experience, they say, is the drive home with their parents.
Yeah.
Okay, Doc, how can we get a hold of you? How do people get a hold of you?
You can reach me at jeff@triumphprogram.com, or you can go to, or my phone number is 816-237-1820. And you can check out Triumph Program website.
Yeah, just go on the Triumph Performance Institute website. Go to Triumph Performance. Yeah. It'll pop right up. It's one of the first things that pops up. We build champions.
We build champions.
That's right.
Yes, we do.
Can you help me with my golf game?
Hey, listen.
Yes.
I don't build them. I sire them.
Oh, boy. Oh. No wonder the Lamont's class never worked.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, I did my job. I'm
listen,
done.
I'm done, yeah.
Hey, listen.
Sure, now, you have those
now
kids.
Now you're all on your own. I gave you everything you need right there.
You got it. And so you only get it on
Crunch Time.